worshipful. And most of those songs I'd never heard. Well, I've heard them in my car, but I've never heard them sung before altogether. That was a blessing. Thank you, guys. Psalm 84, you've been sitting a while. Let's stand together. If you got a Bible there, if you brought your own, there's one in the pew if you didn't. But I'm going to read to you the 84th Psalm. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for thy courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Becca, make it a well. The rain also fulfilleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let's pray. Father, add your blessing not only to the message that we heard in song, beautiful, but also, Lord, to the reading of this particular psalm and a few of the other passages that we'll look at here in just a moment. May you speak to the hearts of those that have never found you as their personal Lord and Savior. There might be some that are still seeking. They're wise if they are. I pray the Spirit of God will work in their heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I know that this psalm is an unusual psalm to read during a Christmas time. In fact, it may have never been read at a Christmas time before. I just read it here this evening, in all honesty. But you know, back in the days when David and the other psalmists wrote all these psalms, they were waiting. They sang that song, Waiting. Well, they were waiting for the coming Messiah. And they had waited and they had waited and they had waited for years. Young ladies had hoped to be the lady that would have the privilege and the opportunity to bring the Messiah into the world. And so in the psalm, the psalmist can only think of being hidden away in the shelter of God's presence. That ought to be something that we ought to desire with our own hearts and lives, is to be hid away in the shelter of the Lord's presence. He is focused, if you'll notice when we read this, he's focused on the Most High God and living in a state of worship. And I mentioned this, but I am into music that worships the Lord. And there's a few of those songs, two or three of those songs especially, that were very worshipful. I want you to notice again with me verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Does that describe you? I mean, is that me? Is that you? Does your soul long, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord? Does your heart and your flesh crieth out for the living God? Notice if you would verse 10 again. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. He said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I say amen to that. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. That's what he is. The Lord will give grace and glory. And then it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Obviously, God wants us to walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Man, that ought to be me. That ought to be you. That ought to be us. Now, there's a problem that we see in the world today, and that is there's a wrong perspective. Our culture teaches that humility is a sign of weakness, and that aggressiveness gains the prize. And so we push on and we push on. But our lives feel drained. Sometimes our lives feel out of control because we've lost sight of the manger. And that's a problem. When people lose sight of them, when we gave the choir practice and practice and gave us an entire cantata in 35 minutes that they've practiced hours on. And Sometimes, I hate to say it, but people lose sight of the manger. They forget the real meaning of Christmas. That's the problem. We've overlooked the message of the Word of God, which He gave us through the life of His Son. And in so doing, we've missed the glory of His presence. What a sad thing. Watching the news, I've kind of given up on that for a little while. Sometimes you got to take a break from the news, you know. But anyway, watching the news, you got the sense that the world is out of control. Because we know that our society, by and large, is out of step with God, you and I that are Christians, and most of us, I suppose, are Christians, feel the effects. Negative thoughts start to hamper our devotion to the Lord and our ability to think clearly. Conflict builds in our hearts, blinding us to God's unconditional love and God's unconditional care. Confusion blocks our desire to have a deeper relationship with the one person who can fill our hearts with His eternal peace, the peace that was born that very first Christmas morning, night, whenever it was. Uncertainty about the future presents us from doing the very thing that God longs for us to do, and that is to abide in His love, and that is to rest in His comfort, and to seek Him above all else and truly worship Him and praise Him. Many people never come to understand that God has given us through the life of His Son, and as a result, they suffer deeply because they've never really recognized what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then insecurity comes. Anxiety and doubt fill their minds because they have not come to a point where they have trusted the Savior in every area of their life. But we don't have to live another minute with those kind of feelings. We don't have to have confusion. We don't have to have uncertainty. We don't have to have insecurity. We don't have to have conflict, chaos. God has made a way for us to know and experience His grace and His mercy through recognizing His Son by faith. It wasn't just another baby that we sing about. It wasn't just another baby that was born that night in Bethlehem. It was the Son of God. It was Emmanuel, God with us. Who God actually came to dwell with us. The one thing that they were waiting for came that night in Bethlehem. I really believe if we truly understood what God did for us through the birth of His Son, we would fall down before Him and we would worship Him like we've never worshiped before. We would be overcome by the realization that God of this universe loves us so much that He sent His Son to earth to live and ultimately die for us. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have one there, to Luke chapter 2, which is part of the Christmas story. But Brother Marty read so much of it that I'm not going to read a lot of it. It starts with an announcement. You know, there's some cool angels, Gabriel. They get to make the cool announcements. I mean, this was an announcement and a half to make. So we'll start in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. I'm going to tell you something. You'd be afraid also. And then it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And you talk about an announcement. Listen to this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I want to mention this because it's not really part of my message. Those swaddling clothes, those were grave clothes. That baby was born to die. And so when Jesus was born, the heaven exploded with praise and with worship and with songs. The angels sang, look at verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, man, that's what we ought to be doing, praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We ought to be saying glory to God. Now the shepherds, amazed by what they saw, and who wouldn't be, responded by praising the Lord and rushing to the very place of His birth. There was no need for chaos and no need for conflict, need for confusion and insecurity and unsecurity. Why? Because of Christmas. Because the Savior. Because the Messiah had come. So let me just say something. We have a secure hope. We absolutely have a secure hope. Can you imagine the most holy of birth announcements were not sent to people with the highest ranking positions on the earth? Rulers didn't even have the opportunity to line up to see Jesus. Men of great wealth did not hear the angel song. Instead, God chose to send his first message of salvation to those who would believe it, and who knew that they, and God knew that they would go straight to Bethlehem. Verse 15 says this, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They were shepherds. They weren't rich. They weren't wealthy. Most likely in that society, they probably couldn't even read. But that's who God came to. I mean, that's something. Those days, often the religious leaders of the day perceived them to be unclean, the shepherds, that is, and unworthy of even crossing through the temple doorway. But praise the Lord, God didn't view them that way. He came to them just as he comes to us from the moment he stepped into the realm of humanity. Jesus began reaching out to those who felt they had no place of real importance in the world. I'm going to tell you, God's got a place for you in his kingdom. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where it is, but I know that God has a place for you in his kingdom. Paul summed up Christ's birth with the words we read this morning. I'm going to read them again this evening. It's in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Listen if you're not there. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Just at the very right moment, God sent Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. And somebody said, what sin had separated, he restored. Loneliness and sorrow had damaged, and he mended. And what Satan had tried to establish through death, Jesus defeated, and he did. A lot of people imagine a tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a soft bed of hay in a manger. But the birth of Jesus is more than that. He came so that we could know the Father in a very personal way, so that we, you and I, can have a very real and personal relationship with the Lord. His presence on earth filled the first promise made in Genesis of a Redeemer when Moses wrote, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Finally, after all those years, that Messiah came. The truth is, the birth of Jesus is one of the most significant events in all of human history. And there are really only a couple of other events that are even matching that. You know what they are? His crucifixion and his resurrection. But all of the most important things that ever happened in the history of the world have come through Jesus Christ, all of them. Up until the time of Christ, man longed to gain God's forgiveness, but they couldn't achieve that by keeping the law. And then the announcement of the Savior's birth. And then it led to his death and to his resurrection. And so now it's possible to have a relationship with the Most High God, a relationship based on his grace and on his mercy and on his unconditional love. Christ changed the method by which men and women came to know God. He abolished the need for any more animal sacrifices, no more need to do that. His death on Calvary's cross was the perfect atonement and sacrifice for every wrong and every sin that you and I will ever commit. Sin's penalty was fully paid for. By one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection was proof of his absolute power over all things. Sin could not bind him. The grave could not hold him. From the grave he arose. And if we go back to where it began in a manger. A rough, hand-hewed trough cut into stone. Now I know when you go by a nativity, it'll show it little wood things in the. That's not most likely the manger that Jesus was born in. Most likely, it was cut out of stone, and it had some hay in it, like a rock, and had some hay in it, and there he laid. But I don't care if you say it was stone or if it was wood. You know what I care? That you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and came into this world. Whether it was stone or wood is irrelevant, although I lean toward the stone. That's kind of irrelevant. But he did come. And he was born of a virgin. And he came to die on the cross. It began in the manger. And it was the perfect doorway to eternal life. Now, do you believe in him? I mean, do you really, really believe in him? Let me ask you something else. What is the object of your personal worship? What do you really worship? Where do you look for contentment? Where do you look for joy? Where do you look for peace? The things of the world, I'm going to tell you something, they never produce lasting satisfaction. No promotion, no relationship, no amount of recognition will produce real satisfaction, but I can tell you somebody who does, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, do you know him in a personal way? Normally, along with promotions comes new pressures to succeed, more reasons to fret. When I was in college, I took a position of being a foreman at the place I worked. That was one of the stupidest things I ever did in my life. I liked the raise, but I would have rather given them the raise back and done away with all the pressure that it created. We sing, all that fills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And when you are wrapped in the Savior's love, those things of the world, they don't seem to bother you as much as they used to. Jesus Christ is our eternal security. We never lose this eternal gift he gives to us through faith in his Son. No level of achievement can bring the sense of peace that he offers. No one can cause you to feel more secure, at rest, or totally accepted like Jesus can. Nobody. Whatever it is that life brings your way, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And the moment we confess our need for him, something happens inside of us. The Lord begins to make his peace known. And instead of feeling threatened and anxious, you're going to relax, knowing that the same God who holds your life in his hand. The Bible said, and I give unto them eternal life, Jesus said, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Psalm 121, verse 4 says, behold, he that keepeth Israel, and you may or may not know this verse, neither slumbers nor sleeps. God never rests. It is Jesus. Not just a babe born in Bethlehem, not just the subject of our hymns and cantatas and carols, but the Son of God, he came and he gives us and he offers to every one of us here this evening the gift of eternal life. The only one who is worthy of all of our worship and the only one who is worthy of all of our praise and the only one that you ought to love supremely above all else is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know him personally, you ought to make that decision tonight to come to know him. You need to tell the Lord something like this. Lord, I need you. Open my eyes. Open my ears so I can experience the glory of your birth. So I can get the true meaning of Christmas and the birth of the Savior. I confess my sinfulness to you and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Not only his virgin birth, but also his death and also his shed blood. And also his resurrection. And you know, when you do that, you can worship the Lord as you ought to. And you can praise him as you ought to. So here's what I want to do. I want us to all stand this evening. Dan's going to come here in just a moment. What was that hymn, Dan? 85? 85. Faith's going to go to the piano. Now, we started with that with one verse, but we're going to sing all three of them here. And I'm going to pray just before we sing. I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed. No one looking around. If you are here this evening and you have never embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come forward and let somebody take a Bible and show you what it is to have your sins forgiven, to show you what it means to know that God loves you and that God has a plan for you and that you can have peace and you can have joy in your heart and in your soul. And beyond that, all of your sins can be forgiven. And you can have offered to you this evening the gift of everlasting life. So as we sing together and as we worship the hymn tonight, if you need to get saved, that's what we're talking about, you come forward and I'll get somebody else to show you from the Word of God how you can come to know Jesus as your Savior. The rest of us, let's worship God as we sing. Dan? Saved. You just step out and come meet me right here in front of the church. I'll be right here waiting for you. Do you know the Lord? If you don't, you come.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful men.
worshiping God in song. Seated. I need about four ushers or three ushers or however many ushers are out there. Come on forward. We're going to receive an offering if you're part of our